Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear your voice leading us into all you have for us. Align our hearts with yours and prepare us to understand where you would have us go and what you would have us do. Amen. Well, this is the last in our series about Transformers. And interesting that Dave's last word to us was wow, because that's my first word, wow. What an amazing man, what an amazing transformation. Or you may be thinking, yes, but that was 2,000 miles and 2,000 years away. Well, listen to this. In his book, Transforming Life, Stuart Lees recalls a story told to him when he was a curate in Essex. One Christmas Eve, author Leanne Payne, busy preparing vegetables, received a phone call from a desperate-sounding man wanting to come round for prayer and healing. Leanne quickly prayed and agreed. He said thank you and explained he was a rabbi and needed to ask her not to mention the name of Jesus. She agreed not to talk about Jesus but would pray in his name. When she went to answer the door, and at the same time quietly inviting Jesus to be present at the meeting, the rabbi walked in. But as he did so, he began to shout, "Jesus! Jesus! Jesus!" This man, steeped in rabbinical teaching, who never mentioned the name of Jesus, was now shouting it aloud in Leanne's doorway. As he finished shouting, he fell down under the power of the Holy Spirit and lay on her hall floor for 2 hours while Leanne went back to preparing vegetables. She heard him uttering wonderful truths that the Spirit of God was releasing in him, and all that rich Jewish learning came alive under the impact of the Spirit of God. Later she asked him about it. "What happened?" she said. "As I walked through your door," he replied, "I saw Jesus standing behind you. He walked right past you and towards me, and it was then I began to shout his name. He kept on walking towards me, closer and closer, until he walked right into me." That rabbi was totally transformed. And of all the statements he made under the influence of this profound encounter, the one that made the greatest impression on Leanne was this: "I now understand that grace is not a principle, but a person." So doesn't this story remind you of Paul's dramatic encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road? Paul had been a man who was proud of his Jewish roots, fighting for the purity of the Jewish faith, and if possible, to remove this new sect completely. But then he met with the risen Jesus of Nazareth, who told him that he would be sent to the Gentiles, no less. He came to understand that Jesus was truly the Messiah, and that repentance and faith was the only response he could make. We've seen and heard that Paul's original name was Saul. He was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was born in Tarsus, in what is today southern Turkey. He was Jewish, but was also a Roman citizen by inheritance. And he spoke the Greek language, an ideal background for the task God had in mind for him, to work for Jesus Christ as a missionary to the Gentile world. That's you and me. You see, this underlines the truth that God prepares us for ministry even before we are born. But he also prepares us for service through our experiences, long before we come to faith in Jesus. He is putting things into us that he can use later. That's a wow. Paul was constantly amazed by the fact that Jesus claimed him when he was on his way to put Christians in prison. He could not get over the fact that his salvation was totally undeserved. So the word grace, which means receiving what you don't deserve, sums up the way Paul felt. In his letter to the Romans, he says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And this grace produced a gratitude in Paul. And gratitude is the motivation behind much of this amazing man's labours. Remembering what the rabbi declared in Leanne Payne's story, let's look at it again. "I now understand grace is not a principle, but a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ." Leanne uses a very helpful phrase to describe the presence of Christ within a believer. She calls it incarnational reality. She describes how the Christian is indwelt and fundamentally transformed by the real presence of the Spirit of God, incarnating himself in the believer's spirit, soul, and body. She continues, "Christ dwells in my spirit and your spirit, in my soul and your soul, in my body and your body. You and I are home to the living God." The same transformation needs to take place in our lives. We need to allow Christ to rename us and call us into our new identity. But to begin with, we need to recognize what has happened in our lives to give us the image of ourselves that we have today. A healthy self-image is seeing yourself as God sees you, no more and no less. A prayer appointment is a very encouraging way to hear how God sees you, how he designed you to be, from self-image to God-image. Paul's Damascus Road experience transformed him into the man Christ had designed him to be. Now Paul was to become a transformer of lives. We heard in the film clip that Paul lived for the gospel. He would do anything to spread the good news about Jesus. But surprisingly, it was to be at least 13 years before Paul would begin to do what God had called him to do. He went to Arabia and spent 3 years alone with God, rethinking his theology in the light of meeting Jesus. But when he went to meet the apostles, they were very unsure of him, quite naturally. And so he then spent 10 years back in his hometown, waiting for his call to be a missionary, to be confirmed. Paul's mission was to plant a church in every key city, so he was constantly on the move. Keeping in touch could be difficult. There were two ways he could follow up. One was to revisit, and the other was to write letters. And Paul is the most famous letter writer in history. David Pawson, in his book, Unlocking the Bible, brings more insight. "Did you know that no other religion uses letters for divine revelation?" I didn't. Not only were letters rare, but it was unheard of for letters to be seen as a means through which God would speak. Paul wrote three kinds of letters. First, there are the four personal letters. Then there are the eight occasional letters. That doesn't mean written occasionally. They're written for a special purpose because of something that may have happened in a particular church. Then there is Ephesians, the only general letter. And it is in Ephesians 6:14-18, which I'm sure we all know, that we learn that we are in a spiritual battle for God's agenda and purposes. And so we must put on our spiritual armour and weapons every day, and in the authority we have in Jesus, stand firm against the poisonous arrows of the enemy. For the sake of our children and grandchildren and our fellow believers, as well as for all who do not yet know the Lord for themselves. God chose to use letters because, firstly, they make his word personal. They are addressed to ordinary people like us. Secondly, the letters make God's word practical, related to real life and real needs. And because Paul dealt with a multitude of issues in his letters, we are able to gain a better understanding of what following Jesus is really about. I'm sure we all know this, that there are no fish in Israel's Dead Sea, because the water is too saturated with salt for them to survive. Even though fresh water flows in every day, the Dead Sea has no outflow, and so the heat of the sun evaporates the water, leaving only its salty deposit. Just a few miles north, the Sea of Galilee is teeming with life because the River Jordan flows into it and then out again on its way south. Unless we are giving away the life that Christ has given to us, we too will become stagnant. It is as we choose to give that we will then receive fresh fillings of the love of God. In Luke's Gospel, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." As we look away from ourselves and cry out to God to enlarge our capacity to love, he will pour his love into our hearts in order that we might give it away to others, healed, restored, transformed. Healthy people make healthy relationships, which create healthy communities that can share the good news of the love of God with real integrity. This is our mission. Amen.